Welcome this morning to the church, the Cathedral Church of the Reconciliation, and we just, I'm just excited. We had a good clergy gathering this last couple of days. We spent some time on the mountain in prayer, and folks were with us. And, you know, this morning I just want to recognize one of our great rectors, Father Ian, and his delightful wife Ruth in the back there. They're from St. Andrews, our church in Petersburg. And these two beautiful ladies here. The one on the right of me is Debbie Johanna, Bishop Johanna's daughter, and her friend Amy. And we just thank God they're here with us today. This morning, if you're trying to follow along with the lessons that are given to us today, you're going to struggle because I'm going to talk about faith this morning. And I want to start this morning by looking at a couple of verses. I want to start with Luke chapter 7, because Jesus is going to heal a centurion's servant. And a centurion is one of the Italian guard who would have been over 100 men. And he has this situation come up, and Jesus is going to be marveling at the situation. So if that's not enough to get you to look into the scripture with me, I don't know what would. So chapter 7 says, when he had concluded all the sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered a Capernaum, and a certain centurion's servant who was dear to him was sick and ready to die. So when he heard about Jesus, he sent elders of the Jews to him, pleading with him to come and heal his servant. And when he came to Jesus, they begged him earnestly, saying that the one for whom he should do this was deserving, for he loves our nation and has built us a synagogue. This man, even though it was a foreign occupation, the Jewish leaders understood that they felt very much warmed and loved by this man. And not only had he been a man that had been a good and faithful leadership over them, he had also built them a synagogue. And when Jesus went with them, he went and was already not far from the house. And the centurion sent friends to him, saying, Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. And he understood that for a devout Jew to come under his roof would have made him unclean for a period of time, not unlike a pandemic where you might have to go quarantine for a period of time. But he understood this, and he said, therefore, did not even think myself worthy to have you, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed, for I am a man placed under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard those things, he marveled at him and turned around to the crowd following him. I say to you, I've not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And those who were sent returning to the house found the servant well who had been sick. Jesus teaches us that this faith of this man healed his servant. His faith, because he believed that the one whom he was asking had the power, the authority, and the ability to do the healing. That even as he did it, it wasn't a matter of necessarily that he laid his hands on him physically. It was the fact that if he would just say the word, his authority would heal the servant. There's a faith in that that's great. That's what made Jesus marvel. He marveled at it, saying, how can this Gentile have this faith when in Israel I've barely found this kind of faith? In Luke 17:5, the apostles cry out to the Lord, and they say, Lord, increase our faith. Give us more. Give us more. Increase our faith. And so the Lord said, you have faith as a mustard seed. You can say to the mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. And which of you, having a servant plowing or tending the sheep, will not say to him when he has come from the field, come once and sit down to eat? And I'm not going to go further into that into that vein right now. But what I'm going to tell you is the apostles are asking him to increase their faith. And Jesus is teaching them that the faith is to be a servant of the king. To trust that is your faith is applied, that you are a servant of the king. The next thing that I want to talk about is a little bit is this let me track 18:8 though. I want to make sure I didn't miss something that I want to give you here. Jesus asks, he talks about the persistent widow in chapter 18, and he talks about the one who keeps crying out and asking the Lord for things. And at the end, he asks this question, and the Lord said, how much, what the unjust judge said, how much shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? He looks for faith. Jesus looks at our faith. He looks at the faith we've been dealt. He looks at whether we multiply that faith in our life. And if we are not people of increasing faith, we are missing the heart and will of the Father for us. We have to be people of increasing faith. Each one of us is given a measure of faith. Some of us, as you'll see in a moment, are given a gift of faith. A gift of faith is different than normal faith, but it still is to increase and to be tested. In the book of Acts, faith is measured as they start to look at the idea that there is going to need to be some men to rise up and help the apostles, help them be able to free them up, to be able to do the work they're called to do. And in chapter 6 of Acts, it says, now in those days, when the number of the disciples were multiplying, in other words, the church was getting busy, when they were multiplying, there arose some complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists that because their widows were neglected in the distribution. Then the 12 summoned a multitude of disciples and said, It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve the tables. Therefore, brethren, work out from among ye 7 men, among good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. They look for men, good reputation, but filled with faith, full of the Holy Spirit. And they did these things. And among those that they were pleased, the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith, that's recorded. His measure is full. Whatever God gave him, he is completely full. I would say Stephen, because of what I'm going to teach you, Stephen was full of faith. He had a gift of faith. And what happens is he begins to preach and do the work of God, and it's not long before he's martyred. And as they go to stone him, as they're killing him because he's spoken the truth, and just a chapter a little longer, he's telling of the truth of all that's happened. And at the end of chapter 8, when they heard these things that Stephen preached, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. And he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God and said, look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man at the right hand of God. And they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their cloth at the feet of a young man named Saul, their clothes, I should say. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling to God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he said this, he fell asleep. Faith puts our eyes on God, not our circumstances. Faith puts our eyes on God, not our circumstances. That was the work of St. Stephen, whether it was noble things, whether it was waiting on tables, whether it was serving the widows, whether whatever his work was, he was going to do it with a fullness of faith. And when he was called to preach, he preached the word, and he did not turn back. He did not fear the crowd that was going to stone him. And in fact, his faith was so full, he answered, in a sense, the question that Jesus asked, when I come back, will I find faith on the earth? And the answer is obviously yes, because we see Jesus not just sitting there at the martyrdom of St. Stephen, the pro-martyr of the church, but actually standing at the right hand of God. Jesus stood up for this saint who is full of faith at his death, that he would marvel, saying, this man is full of faith. And not only was he full of faith, he exhibited the very spirit of our Lord. He said, receive my spirit, and please don't hold this against them. They know not what they do. And he falls asleep to the Lord. See, the measure of faith in our life is, can we do what God is calling us to do? Can we move forward with faith in the times when things seem the opposite? When the penalties for being the Christian are the highest? When the penalties for being honest and true and faithful to our Lord Jesus Christ have great division even among people we love? Even when they gnash their teeth, drive us out of town, and think that it's a good and holy thing to stone us? Can we have our faith unshaken? He was full of faith. He was faithful to the end. In Acts 14:9, St. Paul is going to deal with something, and I want to just point that out because I think it goes to the point we're making here. So hopefully I've gotten it right. Yeah. So he came to a Lystra, a certain man, and strengthened his feet, and he was sitting crippled at his mother's womb. He had never walked. And this man heard Paul speaking, and Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand up straight on your feet. And he leapt and walked. Now when the people saw what Paul had done, they raised their voices, saying in the Lycaonian language, the gods have come down in the likeness of men. And of course, Paul's going to refute that. But one of the things that happens is Paul is looking, and so does Jesus, by the way. Paul looked for the man to have faith to be healed. See, sometimes it's not about God having the will to heal someone. It's, do you have the faith to be healed? Now, it doesn't mean everyone that doesn't get healed doesn't have faith. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is Paul looked for the man to have faith because he probably was already hearing in the spirit that God wanted to heal this man who's never walked since his birth, since his womb, birth from the womb. He's never walked, and Paul's about to tell him to stand up and jump. And I can tell you this, when God speaks something like that to you, you got that momentary thought, not so much that God couldn't do it, but man, if I get this wrong, it's gonna go really bad if this guy tries to jump up and he just doesn't. And so what happened is Paul looks at him, and what he recognizes in the man, he recognizes a faith in the man, that he speaks to that faith, and that faith rises the man up, and he jumps up and receives the healing. See, what happens in our lives with faith is an amazing thing. In Galatians 2:20, Paul goes on in another place, and he's saying these words. He says, "Christ, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." See, Paul recognizes that he's given his life away because he no longer wants to brag on the flesh at all. The flesh, the things of the earth, the things he knows, the knowledge that he has are of no value. What he's bragging on is that he has faith in Christ, and that faith is how he'll live with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives within me. He sees something that's hard to see. And as we continue on, Ephesians 2:8 teaches us as well that we're saved by that faith, that there's a faith that we have to have, and that is kind of the way we are healed and saved. For if you've been made alive, if you were dead in your trespasses and sins, which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, and the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom all were conducted them ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desire of the flesh and in the mind, and were by nature children of wrath just as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his grace, great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up together, that has made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved through faith. You have to believe. You have to believe, and not of your own selves, but the gift of God, and not the works. You know, he goes on to say, the writer of Hebrews has something to say about that. But before we go there, I want you to know that faith is also recorded in the book of Ephesians in the warfare chapter in 6, and it's called the shield of faith. Faith is like a shield that you take in front of you. It's something that you put between you and the enemy. Something you put between you and the world. Something you put between you and other beliefs. And that shield of faith is something that you're supposed to lift up high. And that it's designed to go between you and fiery darts that are being fired by an enemy that are designed to hit your heart, maybe not kill you, but to take you out. They're designed to hit your mind. They're designed to change your mind. They're designed to give you hopelessness and depression and fear and all these other things. And they are designed to hit that. But what goes between you and that, as Paul records in that book, in the armor, the piece of armor that has to go there is the shield of faith, which then blocks those fiery darts. It keeps them from embedding in your flesh, and they keeps you from going down with arrows and darts that are meant to take you out of the game. That's what the shield of faith is about. All these things come together. Hebrews 11 says to us, and it's called the faith chapter in some regard, and it says this in 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Because it's obtained, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. I was saying, you know, this morning you heard of the death of Moses in the Old Testament lesson on Mount Nebo. He was taken up there. He was able to look over the whole land but not go in. And he's buried there in the land of the Moabites. They say no one knows where his grave is. Not to worry. Someone knows. In the book of Jude, Michael argues with Lucifer over the bones of Moses. In the gospel, we see that he's raised up on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus. We know God knows where his stuff is. But we don't know where Moses' bones are. But nonetheless, we know this, that he's in that place, and we think of Moses, and we think of the story of Moses, and we think of the understanding. And I was speaking about this weekend a little bit, because God gives Moses probably one of the hardest things. He's going to be going down to the children of Israel. Having done it in his own strength at one point, he has now gone out on the backside of the desert for years and been trained. Let's see how you do with sheep before you do with these Israelites. And now he's about to go in and deal with this. And of course he asks God, who shall I say sent me? And he says, say I am that I am. But then he says, will you give me a sign? Will you give me a sign, a prophetic sign that says that this is what you want me to do? And he says, well, here's your sign. When you go and do everything I've told you to do, you'll come back on this mountain and worship me. Now that's a faith sign, right? That's not a wet fleece. That's not a dry fleece. That's not a lot of other things that you can see instantaneously. In other words, that's a faith word because it requires you to go and do what God said, that when you come back, you'll stand up on this mountain and you'll worship me, because that is the sign that you'll know when you get back here. So that kind of sign is tremendous faith. See, God is calling his people to faith, and he's calling his people to come into increased faith. And I really believe that at this season, that it's a season right now of faith rising up. That if our faith can rise up, if our faith can get stronger, then we'll believe God for bigger things. If we believe God for bigger things, then God will do bigger things because he's got the freedom to do them, because our faith has made the way for that. Our faith interacts. Our work with God, our life with God is an interactive, and we have to be co-workers with him. And we work with him, and by our faith, by our life. We believe, and he does. We pull people to him. I love the centurion who says, my servant is sick. He calls on Jews who he has a relationship with to go to Jesus. So they're petitioning on his behalf. He's petitioning on the servant's behalf. And God heals the servant because of that faith trail. Sometimes our work is to pull people in here. And because of our faith, they will be healed. Not because of their own at that moment. See, God is increasing in the church a belief. He wants our faith to be active and to be growing. One of the ways that you can activate your faith is to stop looking at the things of earth and start looking at the one. Peter falls into the water when he stops looking at Jesus. But when his eyes are on Jesus, he has the faith to walk on the water because he had already said, Lord, call me to walk on the water and I'll walk to you. That took faith. It took faith to get out of the boat. It took faith to walk the steps he walked. When his faith dropped is when his eyes dropped. What are you looking at in this life? What do you believe in God for? What can God do? What can he do? Where's our faith? Let us all pray that our faith increases and that we activate our faith. Faith is like a muscle. It's something that you have to trust and work in for it to grow. Faith is tested. You have to believe in something you cannot see. And when you believe it as though it is and it comes to pass, then what happens is you not only have a testimony, but you also should have just grown in your faith. Your faith should have gotten stronger. So the next time, you know, this is the word of David, who, a man of great faith, said, you know what? There's a 9-foot Philistine out there, fully armed, that's yelling at the army of the Lord. How dare he insult the army of the living God? How dare he do these things? And all the men of Israel looked at the size of the man they were about to fight, which, you know, I really don't want a lot of tie into a 9-foot guy. But you know what? I get it. But they were not looking at him. They were looking at his physical size. They were looking at a battle where their flesh could not win. And that was probably true. But they did not look at it with eyes of faith. But because David could report that as a shepherd boy standing between his father's sheep and danger, that he was able to take a sling and slay a wolf, and then he was able to slay a lion. And he says, man, if they can go down, this uncircumcised Philistine surely will fall. See, faith is about building that faith so that when the bigger battle comes, you're ready, you're prepared, you're able. People sometimes worry about presumption, but you have to purify your spirit. You just have to trust the Lord. Give me the strength to know what's faith, and God will operate in that for you. He'll give you the opportunity. I truly believe some people have operated in faith, maybe that was not exactly the will and intention of the Lord, but because he saw their faith, he did it anyway. God does amazing things through people who believe, and faith in him is what changes everything. Let's pray for more faith. Father, we pray this morning for your church that our faith might increase, that it might increase largely. Lord, we want to see the dead raised. We want to see the blind see, the deaf hear. Lord, we want to see the dumb speak. We want to see people with great sickness get well. We want to see cancer come out of people. We want to see people who have been crippled to walk. We want to see these things, Lord, and we have faith for that. So, Lord, we say, help us. And, Lord, even like the man said, even when we have some unbelief in it, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Give us strength, Lord, that you might have freedom to work mighty miracles and signs and wonders, that unbelievers, people who have not yet come to believe in you, maybe not even heard of you, would begin to hear of you and see of your greatness because of the signs and wonders, and that they might be attracted to
to the one who can work them, and that their faith may be activated. We thank you already, Lord, that our faith becomes part of our evangelism. It becomes part of our everyday life in you. It becomes part of our, it's a charism. It becomes part of our charisma, our charismatic giftings. Faith is operational in all that we do. It is a currency in the body of Christ. Help us to get wealthy in that currency. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.